Okay, we are in a series called Hashtag Blessed. And blessed are the, what week are we on? Pure in heart.
Everybody ready for school to start?
Yeah.
100%.
Hashtag blessed.
Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll get into this. Blessed are the pure in heart. I can tell from the South Aiken Baptist Christian students, they're ready. They are ready. Yep. Tuesday's the big day. Yeah. It's your last first day. Your last one of public, not public, of grade school. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for the blessings you continue to pour out on us. And I pray, Lord, for the next 20 minutes or so, God, you bless me with the ability to speak your truth clearly. Lord, take away all the distraction that might be there. Would you pray, Lord, if there's something that our life needs the gospel to go into, would you do that? Would you change us from the inside out by your Holy Spirit? We ask this miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. I've used this before. Let's just imagine. Yeah, I got it right. You're out on a hike. I've used this before, so just bear with me. You're out on a hike. It's a beautiful spring day. You're delighted to hear running water. Oh, it's so pretty. Sure enough, you come up to a creek, but there's something wrong. Something wrong with this picture. You notice that someone has dumped trash into the stream. Horror upon horrors. An ugly sight. There's stuff floating in the water. Judging by the empty soda cans, the trash can, the trash, and all that other stuff, there's an ugly film on top of the water. You can't leave the scene as you found it. You've got to clean it up. It actually takes several hours before you can begin to see a difference. It's amazing how much junk is there. You sit back, rest for a moment, and realize you have to keep returning each day until the site is truly clean. Well, that's okay. It's a project you'll be proud of, except that when you come back the next day, it's as if your work has been undone. In fact, there's more trash than before. Somehow, the garbage bred overnight. You think about the unlikelihood of someone coming by this very spot to dump all their garbage every few hours while you're away. You realize that something smells fishy, so to speak. So you begin to follow the creek upstream. Sure enough, you come to a garbage dump. It's been there for years. It's empty. It's emptying into the passing creek. Your cleaning job only opened up a gap for more stuff to settle in. You could go and clean up every day, but it would be like pushing a boulder up a hill and watching it roll back down again. Well, think of your heart, as the Hebrews did, as the source for where your life flows, your thoughts, your emotions, your actions. How much of your life do you spend dealing with the visible garbage rather than what produces it? That's what Jesus is getting at. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why do we spend all our waking amount of energy and all that other stuff on the stuff, not what produces the stuff? That's something to think about. The mood swings, the things that really get us down, the hard stuff about life. Could it be that those are all products of something else and not the real problem? Maybe that's not the problem. Maybe it's something that's causing it. So that's what the whole thing is about. What if all this mess in our life that we encounter isn't the mess, it's something producing it? Blessed are the pure in heart. This is why Jesus says it right here. Blessed are the pure in heart. See, he could have said, blessed are the pure. But he didn't say that. Blessed are the pure in heart. In heart. This would make sense to all of us. Fact of the matter is this. You can absolutely clean yourself up on the outside. You can do the 88.3 on the back of your car. Only go to Chick-fil-A. Pretend to be happy all the time. And the heart can be in a totally different spot. That's Jesus is getting to the center of things right here. Blessed are the pure in heart. Coming from ministering in a small southern town in a small country church, previous to getting here, what I used to hear is this: "Oh, Pastor Fred," and I'll be like, "I'm not a reverend, not yet. Still need to go through ordination and seminary and whatever." Pastor Fred, I know I've been away from the Lord, but I'm going back to church. Okay, well that's good. I've quit dipping. Oh, whoa, that's good. Okay, that's always a good thing. But I'm going back to church. Like, those two things that make you into a genuine believer. I don't know why. That were always the two that came up. But here's the thing. That's what Jesus calls that Pharisaical. Usually it's those two.
Well, usually with a little bit of I quit cussing. But these are all outward things saying, hey, I'm cleaning up. But what Jesus is getting at is, well, that's great and all. You can polish up. What about that stuff that's causing all that? What about that? Jesus, in fact, had a no snap moment where he comes up on some people, some Pharisees. He says, you're like whitewashed tombs. Somebody come by and wash them up, make them look really good, these tombs. You're like really pretty on the outside, cleaned up, polished. But inside, it's dead man bones. It's bones and decay and rot. And as you can imagine, that didn't go over too well. What did you just say? Well, okay. So your job is to keep that spring clean. Keep that clean. That's your job. Make sure that the deceiving pleasures of sin, the love of sin doesn't get in there. And we have several moments where people in the Old Testament really blew it. David, a few times actually. I am impressed in a bad way at David. The Bathsheba thing is the most glaring example. But he let the fleeting pleasures of sin just come in just for a second. And it messed everything up. Messed everything up for him. Well, he was forgiven of it, but the sin followed him the rest of his life. So your job is to not let the fleeting pleasures of sin get in there and wreak havoc in your heart. That's what Jesus is getting at. So I'm going to bring you to trial. We're going to have a little mock trial here. Do you have an impure heart? At the end, we're going to slam down the little gavel thing. By the way, it's spelled G-A-V-E-L. I didn't know that. I thought it's gavel. It's gavel. We're going to slam it down and say, do you have a pure heart? Do you have an impure heart? Here's a couple.
V or V?
V. I think E-L. I know. I was shocked, too. I was like, I thought that was gavel. Okay.
Wait, it's a... What? So it is gavel.
Gavel. Gavel.
You're saying gavel. You yeah. said, I thought it was gavel, but you're saying it's gavel.
Well, I thought it was spelled with F.
Gavel.
Oh.
Gavel.
Okay. Yeah, that's different.
I thought it was gavel with a V.
Okay.
Gavel.
Gavel.
Here's some signs that you have an impure
gavel,
heart.
Gavel, gavel, gavel.
Here it is. A self-righteous heart is an impure heart. A self-righteous heart is an impure heart. If you don't understand that you have the disease, that's worse than having the disease. You get what I'm saying? Like, if you don't understand you have it, that's worse than if you have it. That's what we're getting at. Self-righteousness, you don't see your own sin. It's worse off if you have it and you know it than if you have it and you don't know it.
Wait, what?
It's worse off for you if you have this bad disease, right? And you don't even know it. You're in a worse position than if you do know it, then you have it. That's the way it is with self-righteousness. Let me add this in there. Many today, with the best of intentions, they use this thing where they say, don't you want to feel love? Well, then come to Jesus. Don't you want to feel peace of mind? Well, come to Jesus. If Jesus is just one more thing to make you feel better, you're in a bad spot. You gotta understand, man. Gotta understand this. I am so wicked to the core. And Jesus isn't just one more thing to make me feel better. It's my life. Like, if you're not there, I would have, dare I say you're not even a believer. You got to be at this moment where you're like, I'm just lost if I don't have Jesus and his life standing for mine. What we do today, I don't mean to get all preachy, but what we do today is say, hey, don't you want Jesus? He'll make you feel better. And yeah, he does. But you got to see yourself as like, I'm a horrible sinner and I need Jesus to give me a new heart. It's not until then that you understand things better. Number two, here's another thing. An impure heart regards sin in its heart. It still loves it. Psalm 66 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I love and cherish secret sins in my heart, you might as well not pray. He won't hear you. Wow, that's hard. It's hard. So if I indulge in sin, I do not have a pure heart. When sin not only lives in us, but we live in sin, look out. Look out. Some hide their sins like a shopkeeper who shuts the doors and windows only to do business inside. Some of us do that with our sins. Some of us kind of feed them secretly. Man, I got to tell you, if that's you and you don't see that as a problem, you're dealing with an impure heart. Dealing with an impure heart. If there is like serious conviction over that, you're trying to like, Lord, fix me of that, okay, we can work with that. We can work with that. In fact, Paul in Romans 7 would say, why do I do this? I can't believe I do this. Well, that's the struggle. That's the struggle. Number three, how about this one?
What is that? A covetous heart is an impure heart. See the guy back there? He's like, I want that car. Yeah. A covetous heart is an impure heart. That's me. The place where discontent resides all the time.
Wait,
all
the green car or the red car?
I would like to be in the red car because I don't want to be coveting. Then again, I don't want to have something really nice and have people coveting. I don't know.
You should just walk.
A covetousness heart. A heart that covets is an impure heart. I told y'all this in Sunday school. Hold on a second. I told you this in Sunday school. Here's where it all came crashing down to me. Here's where it came crashing. I saw this video clip of Venezuela and stuff that's going on there. Like, they're running out of food. They don't have food at all. So a bus will show up, and then it's a bus with food, and then you hear gunshots and everybody runs. That's how bad things are. And you're given a government number, and that means you get to go to the grocery store on Friday if they have anything in there. You can check on Friday. And you get to go on Thursday. If they have anything there, you can get it. The government gives you about 20 cents an hour wage so that you can go buy stuff. Okay, I just saw this video and the dude's crying in it talking about how gang people came to his mom with the G-U-N, Thomas is right there, and then I hit the button to get out of that. I was a little affected. I've got to go to Fresh Mart and get something. And it didn't even connect. I'm there. I'm at the meat park. I'm like, oh, this line is killing me. And they were like, wait a minute. See how the heart goes? Wait, you don't have a number to come here just one day out of the week. They actually have food here. You actually have money to buy it. And you're coveting time right now. You're like, oh, I've got a ways on you. What in the world is wrong with me? Well, a coveting heart is an impure heart. How about this? Sometimes, though, here's how it works out for you. I don't know about you, but here's how it was for me as a teenager. I thought my parents were, and I've grown out of this, I've repented of it, but I thought everybody else had the coolest parents, and mine were not. They had me late in life, and all my parents were like mid-40s, went out late 30s, whatever, hit, going out, doing things. Mine were like, be home at 10, that's when the Lawrence Welk TV show comes on. Okay. And I coveted all my parents, all my friends' parents. You know, I had to repent of that. That happens to us, though. A coveting heart is an impure heart. How about this? An impure heart scoffs at those pure in heart. An impure heart scoffs at those who are pure in heart. When someone comes around with a gospel presence, really living it out, really trying to live a godly life, the not impure heart will inwardly mock that and seek to ridicule it. So the impure heart will see that coming and be like, bitty, whatever it might be. That's an impure heart. Just as a snake will not go near a campfire, so the impure heart will not go near holiness. This is how it goes. Will not go near holiness. So, all right, well, that's impure in heart. How about pure in heart? Let's do this. The flip side of that. Are we guilty of being pure in heart? Well, what's that? Well, number one would be this. Christmas night? No. The sincere person in heart, they serve God with their whole heart. It's not a show. It's not something they just do outwardly. For the pure in heart, the inside is their best side. For the pure in heart, the inside is their best side. So they're willing to come under trial. Search me, O God. That's what the psalmist said. Search me, O God. Not as in, see how awesome I am. It's, search me, O God. Let me know if there's anything that's not pleasing of you in me so I can repent of it. That's the pure in heart. Search me, O God. If there's something in there that's going to cause some trash to go downstream, let me repent of that. Show it to me. Please be gentle, but show it to me. That's the pure in heart. Number two. Genie lamp? Yeah, kind of. A pure in heart longs after purity. Like if God asks that person, let me just give you one wish. What is it? That pure in heart person will say, I want holiness. I want to be like you. I'm tired of my sin. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that I keep going back to this sin, that sin, whatever it might be. Please just make me holy. How about this one? Pure in heart hate their sin. Pure in heart person hates their sin. It's not the consequences they hate. It's the distance between them and God. It's really easy to feel bad about the consequences. Getting busted. Man, it's really hard to feel bad about who you offended. There's distance between me and God, and I don't like that. I don't like that. In fact, I know a guy, there's no one attached to any portion of this congregation, so I'm not talking about anybody probably you know, they're far, far away. The guy got in some deep trouble. He had an addiction to some stuff, and they caught him inside someone's house trying to look through their pill bottles and stuff like that. And we tried ministering to this guy, and what I came away with each time was, he keeps speaking like longingly about the days of getting high. He doesn't hate his sin. He wishes he weren't caught. He would talk about, oh yeah, are you glad you're out of jail now? Oh, I'm so glad I'm out of jail, but boy, those were good times before that. Like, hold on, what? You don't hate your sin. This is just going to happen again? Well, that rhymed. I didn't mean to. But you're not there yet. You in fact, you still love it. That's not working. How about this one? Pure in heart person, and I didn't get the whole thing on there. They avoid the appearances of evil. That's a big difference. They avoid all appearances of evil. They don't love the appearance of evil. Gotta watch that button there on the PowerPoint slide. They avoid all appearances of evil. Like even if it's not evil itself, they don't want to give the impression that they're doing something really against God's will. That's really hard. That's really hard. So Joseph, I don't know if you remember in Genesis, but Joseph is sitting there, and Potiphar's wife is trying to, what we might say, holler at him. And she comes to him, and he says, no, no, no. Then finally, she kind of just pretty much throws herself at him. And what does he do? He runs. He doesn't want anything to do with any appearance like he's about all that. Well, that's us. The pure in heart will run from anything that looks evil in their life. They'll be like, I don't want anybody to think that I'm all about that. And then finally, ultimately though, the pure in heart, the not pure in heart, hopefully this made you feel uncomfortable in some areas, because we all struggle here. We all struggle. So hopefully this kind of got you a little on the edge of your seat. That's what it's meant to do. We're striving to be the person who's pure in heart. We are. But we can't do it perfectly. We could keep going over things. We can keep going up and down, feeling pretty good about ourselves here and pretty bad about ourselves there. We could keep doing all that. But there's only one who is pure in heart in everything he ever did. And he gives you the credit. Here. You know, I honored the Father with everything I ever thought. I love the Lord God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my neighbor as myself, and here you go. You can have the credit for it. So our only hope is to go to the one who is pure in heart. So try to give evidence that you would be found guilty of being pure in heart. Sure, give evidence of that. But ultimately, I want you to rest in the fact that God actually sees the Son's pure in heart covering yours. So that's called justification. Really, really, really big doctrine here. Justification. God looks at you justified, never sinned. That's what justified means in the theological sense. Justified, never sinned. That's how God chooses to see you. That's huge. Huge. So there's your identity right there, right? You don't need to go looking for these eyes or those eyes or whatever. That's the biggest question. Whose eyes matter most to you? Whose eyes matter? And God the Father says, look, I choose to see you, my Son, instead of you, in your place. So I see you as just if you'd never sinned. You're pure in heart because Christ was pure in heart. Now, that should cause you to continue to be pure in heart. That should definitely do that. But as a response, not to get it. So, that's where we'll close. Think about that. Pure in heart. You'll live out of that, out of thankfulness, not duty. And that's where true life is found. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for what we understand through it. Lord, blessed are the pure in heart. There's no way anybody in this room could be found guilty 100% of being pure in heart. That's why the Son was sent. And that's why he stood in our place, lived a perfect life we could never live, died the death that we should have died, and was brought to new life. Pray, God, for anybody in this room that doesn't quite get that, Lord, would you reveal that to them through your Holy Spirit? Bless us as we go off and discuss this. And thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. I would love to tell you, too, that, hey, guess what?